charge of the government was to serve the people. And it wasn't a theory for him, he actually meant it. So, first thing he did was he exempted and accepted out all the religious. They didn't have to pay any taxes. And he accepted out also, in other words, the law didn't apply to religious. And he also made sure that the Pharaoh, who was the head of the government, didn't pay any taxes either. So it didn't go for the military. The military didn't have to pay taxes. They got the taxes. So the taxes went to the religious and it went to the military. But his own people, Israel, lived in the land of Goshen. They didn't get the benefit of the tax. They didn't pay a tax and they didn't get a tax. Why? Because they were part of Pharaoh's household taking care of his cattle as stewards. Therefore, they were accepted out just like the religious were. Now, the Jewish people weren't Egyptian. They weren't celebrating Egyptian religion. But they were celebrating their own religion privately. Privately, it has nothing to do with public. There wasn't any public expression of their religion. Nevertheless, because of Joseph, he had them working for Pharaoh, working for the government, so to speak. They were taken care of. And they never had to pay, and they didn't get any benefit. They just simply were doing their job, and God protected them. Now, one of the things that happened was everybody else had to sell off during the bad years. They had to sell off they ate up all their grain that they'd saved for the 7 years, and they didn't save it like Joseph had saved it. And so they ate it all up, and then they said, what are we going to do now? So, well, the only thing to do is you're going to have to, I guess, sell all your cattle. So, oh, man, that's our livelihood. Nothing I can do about it. Otherwise, you have to be a slave. Well, no, okay, we'll sell our cattle. So then they sold all their cattle. Then the next year they came and said, we're still in trouble. Well, what else have you got? Well, nothing. All we got is our land. Okay, well, you'll have to sell your land. So now the government had all their cattle. Now he had all their land. And he said, I'll let you live on it. You can use it. But you no longer own it. So you don't own your cattle. You don't have any money in the bank. Now you don't own your land. The next year they came and said, well, what do we do now? He said, well, what more do you have? Nothing, just ourselves. Okay, well, you can sell yourselves. So they sold themselves into bondage. But Joseph, being wise and being under God, said, I'll tell you what, I'll only want the fifth part, 20%, instead of taking 100%, making you a slave. I don't want you to be slaves. You'll do better if you give 20% to the government, keep 80 for yourself. Then you can eventually buy back your land and buy back your cattle on a buyback program. That's not slavery. That's being in bondage because of your own foolishness, but having a way to earn your way back. So, not only was the Egyptian religion completely accepted out of the law, not only was the Pharaoh and all his household accepted, Israel, because they worked for the Pharaoh, they were also accepted out. Not only that, but even when the people came into bondage, they had a way to buy themselves back because of Joseph's wise use of all the power that God gave him and all his authority. So eventually, Egypt became great again until the time of Moses. At the time of Moses, Egypt was in its third greatest moment. Now, yesterday was the last day of the little museum down here where they had Hatshepsut, who was probably Moses' mother. She was the greatest woman pharaoh ever, perhaps the greatest pharaoh ever. And she raised Moses to be the pharaoh. She adopted him, brought him out of the water, and claimed him as her own, found a Jewish mother, which was his own mother, to nurse him, raise him for the first few years of the life. And then she took him into the house and raised him to be the Pharaoh. He would have been the most powerful man on the face of the earth. All because of what Joseph did years before, bringing true justice to the land. Now, as Moses grew up, the first 40 years, he learned everything about this world. But he remembered his childhood. He remembered when he was young, what he learned from his mother, his real mother, his biological mother. And remembered the religion of the Hebrews. When he became 40 years old, he changed and he went back to his roots. Gave up the Pharaoh idea. Said, I don't want to be Pharaoh. And he ran out into the desert. And God trained him for the next 40 years in humility. That can happen to you. You train your first part of your life to make it in this world. Then the Lord says, surrender it. Give it up. Let me take you out into the desert where it's hard, not easy. And then he taught him one thing for 40 years. Humility. Character. He called it meekness. It's nothing other than being a good steward. He learned how to own nothing, to possess nothing in this world, but to use everything for the glory of God. He is the man then that wrote the Old Testament. And God used him mightily. Now, I want to read from Solomon, who was the last of the great kings of Israel. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord. Today we dedicate this house. Let's see how Solomon dedicated the house of God. All the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David, his father, had dedicated, just like we did today. We dedicated everything. We turned it back. We just surrendered it. When you lift your arms like this, it's like surrendering. But it's also making an offering to God. You're surrendering your souls, your lands, your persons, everything. Just like Joseph got all the Egyptians to surrender everything to the Pharaoh. But then he didn't let the Pharaoh abuse the people with all the wealth, unlike our government. No corruption would take place because God was giving everything then back to them so that they could be good stewards and learn. And that's what made the greater wealth under Hatshepsut later. And Solomon brought in all the things, just like we did today, that David, his father, had dedicated, the silver, the gold, the instruments, put he among the treasures of the house of God. So everything that's our treasure, our monies, it's not ours. I can't go and just do what I want with it. It isn't yours. It's the Lord's. So in this church, we don't pay big salaries. I don't want a big salary. I won't take it even if it was offered. In fact, I'm looking for ways in which to lower everything. We've never had a financial problem. We never will have one. But what I'm saying is everything is to be used for God, for his purposes, just like Solomon. Then Solomon assembled all the elders of Israel. So we'll have to settle for me, Dave, you. That's it. That's the elders. So, and we have some youngers. Elders and youngers. All the elders and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel. He brought them all to Jerusalem, just like we hear today, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was a box. And in that box was the Ten Commandments, a jar. Does anybody know what's in that jar? It's in a jar of manna, which shows that God provides for you every day. But also, there was a little stick inside the box, too. Does anybody know what that stick was?
Aaron's rod.
Aaron's rod. The rod of authority, the rod of correction, the rod of instruction. Aaron being the priest means it would be a merciful rod. When you use a rod to spank someone, you do it always in love. Always for the good of the one you're spanking. You never spank your children because they're irritating you. You spank them for their good. Did you ever get a spanking? It's always for your good. It's never for the parents' peace. It was never because, you know, you were too noisy. It was always because it was good for you. Did you ever get one? You did? Good. Zoe, have you ever gotten a spanking? No?
No.
I think you have, but it's okay. We need spankings. They're very important to us because otherwise we don't learn by words. You cannot learn just by words. You have to have spankings. And God spanks his children too. But it's never to harm them. It's always to bless them. You can be spanked by circumstances. You can be spanked by obeying God. To bring up the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is really nothing more than the presence of Almighty God. So God is present with us today. Do you know why he's present? You know why he's present?
Two or more.
Two or more that are gathered, and he's inside of us. He doesn't live here. This is not God's building. It is. But we are the building. We. That's why surrendering, lifting our arms like this, and offering to God ourselves, our souls. Say, God, you live my life. You tell me what to do. You train me. You instruct me. That's wisdom. To bring up the Ark of the Covenant out of the Lord, out of the city of David, which is Mount Zion. Wherefore, all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast that was in the seventh month. So they dedicated the building during what we call Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, during the seventh month, trumpets, booths, and so on. And all the elders of Israel came, and all the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark. So the presence of God comes because of the priest. The priest means mercy. So that means God will be present only where there's mercy. He is never present to destroy. He's always present not to give the kind of justice that would punish and destroy, but the kind of justice that would discipline and correct. In other words, he's destroying your flesh, but not destroying you. Israel, live by mercy, and we live by mercy. It's the same. That's why we dedicate this building, because God's been merciful to us. He hasn't just demanded of us to obey and then beat us when we didn't. He's actually disciplined us for our good so he could give us everything. When we give it to him, then he gives it right back. He said, well, thank you for giving it to me. Now I want you to take care of it for me. Oh. So we give him the building, and he gives it right back. Says, I don't want someone else to use this building. It's for you. You use it. I own it, but you use it for my glory. And we accept that because we were in bondage. We were in debt. Like the Egyptians, we sold ourselves to the Lord. Powerful idea. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, a little tent, and all the holy vessels and everything that was in the tabernacle, these did the priests and the Levites bring up. So they brought up everything. Now, Solomon built a building, not a tent. But prior to the day that that building was dedicated, everything was moving around in a little tent. Now it's permanently in one place, just like we're permanently here every week come to the same place. We don't have a tent that travels around like a little mobile unit or a trailer or put up a tent on different corners. I was always here. And it's a building, so it's permanent. It's not going to go away. It's on this particular dirt, and it's going to stay right here. Now, we could sell this. We'd have to ask God to tell us to do it. We can't just do it on our own. But if God would say, move from where you are and go over here, we could. But until he tells us that, we won't. And so we dedicate this place and stay here. We've been here for years now. Not because it's the nicest place. It's not. It's not really a very nice building. It's not a great location. But it's where God told us to locate. So that's why we're here. We don't do what we want. If we go out in the suburbs, we can have a big church right away. Build it. You just go around the growth areas, go up by the airport up here. You know, it's just growth areas everywhere. Go to Keller, you know. It's easy to grow. You just go into a growth area. It's not that they're better pastors or anything. It's just, you know, just the location right. But we don't do it that way because we're not interested in all that. I don't trust any of that. I believe we're here because God said to go right here. So here we are. It's not my choice. Yeah, I could easily choose smarter, better than God. This is not a good choice, God. Rundown building in the rundown part of town. But God is smart. And so therefore, I don't trust myself. I trust him. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen. In other words, they made offerings, which could not be told or numbered for the multitude of them. As thousands and thousands of sheep were killed that day just because of God's house being dedicated. In other words, they were happy that God had given them so many sheep and cattle and everything. They could sacrifice thousands of them and still have more. In other words, we don't give God everything we have. We only give God a part of what we have because it's for our good. It's not trying to make us bankrupt. It's not trying to slave us. It's trying to set us free. It's good discipline for us. And the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staves thereof above. You know what cherubim are? They're like angels. Only in this case, they're made out of wood covered with gold, so they're not real. So they put those as kind of like symbols in the back, in the Holy of Holies, you know, way in the back. And that way people knew God was present, and around the throne were these little cherubim. So there were two cherubim, one on one side, one on the other side, and they had six wings, and so on and so forth. And they drew out the staves of the ark, so that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tables of stone. So the only thing in the ark at this time was not manna. We don't know where the manna is today. And there's no Aaron's rod. So the only thing left was the law, the two tables. The law that God promised to keep. So we don't know where those tables are today either. But they could well be hidden. They could be hidden somewhere. But we have them written down in this Bible. So you can read what God's laws are. Simple, there's only 10 of them, so you can count them on your two hands. You can remember them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So on and so forth. So the first four refer to worshiping God. The last six refer to your neighbor. So, love God, love the neighbor. Simple. Now, that covenant, God promises to keep. We could break our side of the covenant, but he won't break his side. So, when we broke our side, you know what he did? He kept it by making Jesus come. And then having Jesus die because we were, we'd broken the covenant, so somebody had to die, and Jesus said, well, I'll die for him, because God was our partner. I'm glad we had God as a partner. He's a partner that when we goof up, he doesn't. When we let down, he won't. When everybody proves unreliable, he's still reliable. And if you lose everything, yeah, just restore it. It's a great partner to have. It'd be good to have a partner like that in business. You go out and you blow everything, and then he says, oh, you blew it? Okay, I'll fill it back up again. What a great partner. That's the way children are with parents. If something goes wrong, the parent makes up for it. Even if the child destroys it, the parent will buy another one. If they eat up all the food, the parent will give some more food. If something goes wrong, the parent takes care of it. That's the way God is. It's a very good arrangement, especially since God is very rich, very powerful, very wise, and very loving. It's everything you ever want. Also, so the only thing that was in that covenant was the law. But God fulfilled the law in Jesus, remember that? So now that law's been fulfilled. Never have to worry again. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified. And they did not then wait by course. In other words, they weren't doing anything, they were just sitting. That day they didn't do anything. They were ready. They didn't do anything. And here's what happened. And also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, those are the three leaders. They had three lead instrument singer type people, like Paul. Paul does our singing here. But they had three of them. With their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, I'm almost done, having cymbals and psalteries and harps. In other words, they had a lot of instruments. They didn't just sing, they had instruments with them, just like we do. And they stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding their trumpets. Oh my gosh, that's a trumpet section. 120, just one trumpet's pretty loud. David plays trumpet. I'm telling you, you get 120 of them in one room, it's a loud blast. So you think of the young people today with their loud music, nothing compared to this. Imagine God was into loud music long before young people figured it out. I mean, 120 trumpets blowing at once, woo! And it even came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, ready to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments and music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. God is good. And thank God his mercy endures forever. If you mess up, doesn't matter. He'll fix it. He promised. He can't lie. Now, you and I could lie, but he can't lie. And the devil could tell you, well, he's not going to come through for you. He's lying. God will come through. Just be patient. And here's what he wants you to do while you're waiting. Praise him. Thank him. Rejoice. Smile. Don't look sad. Hey, what's wrong? Well, the Lord hadn't come through. He doesn't want that. He wants you to be happy all the time. Can you be happy every day of 2007? No matter what happens, yeah. We made it through 2006. I think the same God that kept us alive, he'll keep us alive some more. And not only that, he'll probably prosper us. Now, I told you Sunday that Israel is going to get in big trouble, 2007. But we aren't. We're not in trouble. Unless we help Israel, then we'll be in big trouble. And so that's why I'm going to go to Israel. I want to help her because I want to be in big trouble. Why would I want to be in big trouble if I don't have to be? They have to be. Their time has come to get the furnace. And the Muslims they're cooking it up. We don't have to be. We could just say, let them get the beating, but we'll stay over here. No, that wouldn't be right. Because God dedicated himself. And right here, they dedicated themselves back to God. So we have to pray for those people. It's not our choice. We dedicated ourselves. God, we'll just do whatever you say. Well, I want you to bless Israel. Oh, well, those people are bad. Well, that's all right. You were bad too. I forgave you. Oh, okay. Well, we're not forgiving them because they're good. We're forgiving them because they're bad. Always remember that the reason you give mercy to someone is because they don't deserve it. You never give mercy to people that deserve it. Never. Mercy is always for people that don't deserve it. I used to spank my children, but instead of spanking them, I'd take them in the back room and say, okay, I'm going to give you a choice. You want a spanking or you want mercy? You have to think it over and decide which you want. So they'd think about that. They would go, well, mercy, Dad. Okay, well, if I give you mercy, then there'd be no need for a spanking if you've already learned your lesson. But if you haven't, I couldn't give you mercy. But if you learned your lesson already, I've learned my lesson. Well, then there's no need for a spanking, because I can tell you've learned your lesson already. And so the purpose of mercy is for their good. The purpose of the spanking was also for their good. But sometimes, instead of giving them the spanking, I'd give them mercy. Not always, dependent on what was happening. And many times the children learned, hey, there's two ways with Dad. You might get the law, or you might get the mercy. Pretty powerful. It taught them, hey, that's the way God is. For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. And then, when they sang that, when the trumpet sounded, and the people began to sing, and they said, God is good, and God is merciful, and God is great, and gave all the praise to God, and offered themselves up. What happened? Immediately, this is the last verse, immediately the house was filled with smoke. God manifested his pleasure that you have praised me and you have dedicated everything for my purpose. Now, Israel didn't keep this up. She sinned later. But even so, she dedicated her life to God. That's what we should do today. Dedicate our building, dedicate the land, dedicate all the pianos and pews and everything that's in this building. But most of all, dedicate ourselves to God. That, Lord, everything is holy, set aside for you. And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. I believe this year, because we've dedicated the building, this year God will fill this place with his glory. He will do things that no one knows about, because we've done nothing the world way. We haven't done anything the way. We don't advertise. We don't do anything. All we do is say God is great. That's all. We just give out the truth. God is great. Sing unto him. Worship his name alone. 2007 will be a year of worship. So we dedicate ourselves to saying God is good. God is great. God is merciful. His mercy endures forever. And the house was filled with smoke. That is powerful. And it was so great that they couldn't do anything. Oh, that this year we would do nothing. We would not minister. The Holy Ghost would do the ministry. The Holy Ghost would do all the ministry. We don't do anything. Just let the Holy Ghost do it. Why? Because he's merciful. The Holy Ghost is merciful. You don't have to do anything. How could you give something if you don't have anything? Can't give out of your poverty. You can only give out of your abundance. Well, let the Lord be merciful then. Let him cause this church to be abundant. For example, they found gas underneath the church. So that means we can get money just for being right here. So I want to make sure that it's not our money. It's given to God. It's given to the Lord. You don't know where the biggest gas is. Could be right here. They've begun to drill, but they haven't really drilled yet. They have to get our permission. So that's one of the first things we'll be doing this year, is giving our permission. And then, you know, all that. So God could provide in a way that nobody knows about. There might be somebody joined the church that suddenly has incredible amount of wealth, and they could leave that all to the church. You never know what God's going to do. It's none of our business. Our business is to surrender, dedicate ourselves, thank God for his glory, give him praise. He'll do the rest. Amen. So much so that we won't be able to minister. In other words, do nothing of our own strength. Let God do it all. To God be the glory. Well, hope you're blessed today. I want us to close now with our hands lifted up to dedicate ourselves and our building unto God. Larry, would you say a prayer of offering?
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for everything that you have given us.
Yes.
Lord, thank you that you love us so much.
Mm.
That you provide for us unconditionally.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we dedicate everything here.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Give it back to you for your service.
Mm.
Lord, we don't know exactly how to do that, but let us have an ear to hear as we go through the year as to what is your service.
Mm.
And let us give according to your will, and may it be only to your glory.
Mm.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. It's great. Amen. Well, thank you for your family coming today. What a blessing. And Monica, thank you. It's a blessing. And Larry, thank you, brother.
Amen.
Been faithful. Been faithful.
Good.
You know?
Stretch out a little bit.
People, it's easy to be faithful when there's reward. It's hard to be faithful when there's no reward. But when the Lord sees that you're faithful, regardless, then he gives a reward. So I won't be surprised when we're rewarded. But it won't be because we were good. It will be because God is good.
Amen.
It won't be because we were good. Well, it won't be because we did everything right. It's because we did nothing right. But he did everything right. He kept his obligation. He kept his word. He kept the law. And he did it for us. Thanks be unto God.